Just this past Wednesday, a lady stopped me in the hallway at church, and she said, "I got a question I'd like to ask you." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "Do you ever get nervous before you get up and speak?" And I said, "Well, not really, not that much. It doesn't bother me. But I'll tell you what does, that little gas gauge, I sure hope it goes up when I get finished. I've been watching it go up for everybody, and that makes me nervous just a little bit. But let me talk to you about pride just for a little bit. I think that a proud man tells on himself, and he doesn't even know that he's telling on himself. And what I mean by that and how he tells on himself is this. What he tells on himself, a person who's proud and arrogant and boastful, here's what he tells. He has not been in the presence of God lately. You can't be proud and be in the presence of God. That's humbling. And a guy who has the nerve to be arrogant and proud about his relationship with God and his Christian life, it's the first thing that comes to my mind is that guy is not as spiritual as he's letting on. Because if he was in the presence of God, there's no pride in his presence. There's only humility. Again, just like I talked about this morning with pornography, I think pride runs rampant in sections of our church. And I'll tell you what, here's the section that I find it worse among preachers. I really do. I teach in a school of preaching, and I have a class where I talk to guys about the preacher and his work in a very practical way. And I harp on pride. Like, they'll hear it every class period. Please don't be that guy. There are so many guys that get caught up in pride. And I understand why it is so distasteful to God. Of the seven things that God hates, my list would look different from his. Seriously, if I were to make my list, it would not, well, some of the things that it's on, it wouldn't be on it, but it's on that list, pride. And when I stop and think of God's perspective, how dare that lowly creature cop an attitude when he is just as lowly as everybody else? I can see how distasteful that would be to God. Pride goes before destruction, Proverbs 16 and verse 18, and a haughty spirit before fall. And so I want to give you three things that pride will do to you if you don't get it in check. The first thing is that pride will cause you to think too highly of yourself. We have an explicit instruction by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "For I say to you through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think lowly or humbly, soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Don't think more about yourself than you ought to. And he goes again in verse 16 of the same chapter, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Do not set your mind on high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Do not be wise in your own conceit or your own opinions." A number of years ago, I had a preacher call me. He was wanting to move, and he thought I might be able to give him some places that maybe were looking that would be a good lead for him. And he called me and he said, "I'm looking for a place to preach." And I said, oh, now's a good time because I know of several places right now. And I began to name off different places. And with every place, he said, "How big are they? And how much do they pay?" Those were the two things that he was concerned about. And he had many, many opportunities to preach, but none that appealed to his pride. And I even came so far as to say to him, like in a conversation, I said, you know, if a man is too big to preach for a small church, he's really too small to preach for a big one. And he didn't even, it was like, yeah, that's right. He didn't even see it applied to himself. That's the thing about pride. It is self-deception. We don't see it. We can see it in other people, but we don't see our own pride. And it's really dangerous because of that. A proud man is not going to stand in the presence of God. And yet we often don't see our own problem with pride. It'll cause you to think more about yourself than you ought to. It'll also keep you from repentance. If you're a proud man, you can't humble yourself. You're not going to admit you're wrong. You're not going to humble yourself in front of the church and say, I made a grievous mistake and I'm sorry for it. Just the other day, there was a lady where I preach. She got pregnant out of wedlock, and nothing was being said by her. There was no repentance. I gave her a little time, and I said, I'm not going to let that go on. Everybody's aware that she's pregnant. She's put it on Facebook and all this, and so I wrote to her as kindly as I know how. And I said, it's because I love you. I don't like doing this. I don't like these confrontational things. But, what you've done is wrong. You know the teachings of God's Word. And I want to rejoice in that child with you, but not outside of repentance. There's a time where you can be happy about this child and raise it and love it and teach it to love God. But you need to let the brethren know that you're sorry for the decision you made that led to this. What was her reaction? Block me from Facebook. You know, I'm not going to humble myself. I'm not going to repent. That's where some people come from. They have no willingness to humble themselves. In spite of what James said in James chapter 4, he said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You quit trying to lift yourself up. Amen. Humble yourself and God will lift you up. I had an eldership call me a few years ago at a church not where I preached. And they asked me, they said, we've got a problem. We've got this guy at the church where we serve, and he's just wearing us out. He's ungodly. He's just making our life as elders miserable. And we need to practice discipline on him. And we would like for you to come down and preach a series of lessons on church discipline. And then we're going to discipline this man because we've got to. And I said, I'd be happy to do that. Can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, when's the last time you practiced church discipline? He said, oh, more than 30 years, I guess. I don't remember us ever talking about it or practicing it before, and that's why we need somebody to come down and preach on it. And I said, well, have you had, like, behaving people for 30 years? You know, and he said, well, no, we haven't. I said, all right, well, here's what we'll do. I'll come down and preach on it, but before that happens, you elders need to repent for not doing what God has called you to lead the church in, and then I'll come down and preach on it. Or you can do it when I come down to preach on it. And he said, oh, well, let me talk to the other elders about it. And I got a call. Well, no, it wasn't even a call. It was an email the next day. It said, we decided it's probably not best for you to come down and speak on this topic. And you know why? They had neglected the Word of God, and they were too proud to humble themselves and say, we've made a mistake. Listen, that has eternal consequences. We have to humble ourselves before God and repent if we want to go to heaven. And I'll tell you what we've also done where I preach. It's hard. I grant it. You know, walking down, you know, we used to call it the walk of shame. You know, the invitation song, and they come down all by themselves, and they sit on this pew all by themselves, and everybody's looking at them and thinking, what have they done? And that, it takes a lot of humility to do that. And I decided, let's help people overcome their pride. I got up and I preached a sermon one Sunday and said, never will anybody ever here respond alone anymore. We're not going to have it anymore. Now, this church has been there forever, and it's always been that way. The person would come down and just sit there all by themselves until the preacher went over and talked to them. And I said, we're not going to do that anymore. When somebody comes forward, we're going to meet them and come down here with them and sit with them and hug them and cry with them. And that's the culture we want to have here at this church. So I preached that one Sunday. The very next Sunday, a lady walked down that aisle right there, and she sat on that corner seat where I preached, and not a soul moved. It was like showdown at the OK Corral, you know, like, I just preached. We're not going to let this happen. So I've never done this before, but I turned around and I stopped the song leader, and I said, listen, last week I said we weren't going to let somebody come forward by themselves anymore. And I don't know if you saw, but there was a lady that came forward. And if you love her, some of you will come up and support her. And I said, now let's sing the last verse. And there were about a dozen ladies that got up. There were tears that flowed. They were hugging each other. And it was a beautiful scene. And you know what happened? In the next 6 weeks, we had 60 responses. When the church saw that it was safe, apparently they were sitting there knowing I need to do this, but my pride won't let me. And when we said, we'll help you with that, we'll embrace you, love you, support you, pray for you, the lid came off. And it was just a flood of people. We need to do what we can to help people with their pride, because that pride will keep them from repentance. And then the third and final thing that I have is pride will cause you to treat your brethren as enemies. We talked about this morning prior to this session in the elder session. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, Peter said, love not your congregation. He said, love the brotherhood. Listen, the church across town is not your enemy. They're your partners. They're your co-workers. And I'll tell you, pride will get in the way of that. You'll get jealous of each other. You'll be competitive with each other. You'll resent the success that another congregation has when you get filled with pride. Lose that. And I'll tell you how we are trying to do it. We're trying to share. Like, if the congregation across town has a baptism, we're going to announce it at the congregation where I am. Is that not worthy of rejoicing? Absolutely. And we want them to reciprocate. We want there to be a spirit of brotherhood in the church, and we want that to exist rather than competition for souls. And so, minute 30. Yeah, is that a... Thank you, sorry. I really think that there's a lot that needs to be said about pride, and there are ways that we can work to keep that at bay, to keep it in check. It is so distasteful to God. He sees it. He knows just how sinful we are and how much trouble we have. And for us to cop that attitude like we're better than something, man, that has to be distasteful to God. I'll close with this. Pride is the only disease known to man that doesn't, that makes everybody else sick but the guy that has it. You know, nobody wants to be around somebody that's proud. It gets old really quick. And if somebody is struggling with it, get somebody to help you. My wife, I tell her all the time, if you ever see a hint, you tell me. Say, Steve, you know, and I mean it. I do not want to be that guy. And so I ask her to help me. Maybe there are people in your life that you can say, listen, I'm concerned about this. I don't want it to be me. If you can help me, help me. If you see it, let me know so that I can avoid this sin.